Good morning. Hazel, is this yours? Bubbles?
Not mine.
So very good, shall we? Oh, they work. Fantastic. We're just sitting there going, I've been here for 30 years and I've never seen anyone blow bubbles at the front before. That's fantastic, isn't it? Bubbles. There we go. Well, today we, sorry about that, we conclude our series. I think we conclude our series. I haven't seen the notice sheet, actually, so, and I don't know what the teaching programme is for next week, but I think we're concluding our series looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. You'll remember that the first week we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and then we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in new birth, when we become Christians, how the Holy Spirit works in us and creates a new being as we become a Christian. And last week, Ian took us through the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And finally, this week, we look at the Holy Spirit, the power of God in our lives, in us. So the bubbles. I put the bubbles there, as you know. No great theology here, okay? But just that picture of how the bubbles would not have existed if I hadn't blown air into them. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot exist as Christians. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in us. And our passage this morning is from Ephesians, and it will be chapter 5, verse 15 to 21, which we'll turn to in a few moments. But Ephesians, before we go there, it's always good, isn't it, to remember the context of where this letter has been written to. If you think Ephesians, think Ephesus, maybe think London, think cosmopolitan, trade, affluence, greed, self-satisfaction. Maybe not just London, maybe Warwick, you know, but... You know, that was Ephesus was a capital city or a city. It was a trading city, and it was a city where there was a lot of issues, particularly around self-satisfaction and greed and such like. And Ephesus was a young church. Paul had been there. It had been a centre of evangelism for about 3 years, so it was a very young church. And Paul wrote this letter whilst probably he was in prison in Rome. He wanted to encourage them. To encourage them in God's eternal purposes, to encourage them in the goals that God has for the church. And as he encourages the church in Ephesus, so he encourages us today. And the passage that we're looking at today comes at the end of a section that is entitled, in the New International Version, Living as Children of Light. And it's a section where Paul is instructing the church to imitate God and to live lives reflecting Christ's love, and warning them of all of the issues and dangers in society around. That's a big ask, isn't it? When everybody else is living in a different way, to stand up and to live a life for Christ. So let's read the passage together that we've been given, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now we're going to be spending most of our time this morning thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but Paul's message right at the start here, isn't it? It is, be careful, because the days are evil. Be careful, because the days are evil. Right at the outset, it's important to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. The next chapter of Ephesians, towards the end, talks about putting on the armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can overcome evil. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that the days are evil. And that wasn't just a statement for first century Ephesus. You know, that was a statement for the era that we are in. We often hear, don't we, of signs of the end of the age and, you know, things are going to get really bad, which, yes, you can look at the Bible and you can sort of pick that out. But actually, the era that we are in, the messianic era, post-Christ, before he comes again, it is the days are evil. You know, we often hear, don't we, you know, what is the world coming to, or what is up with society today? Well, you know, I've got news for us. Maybe with modern technology and the way that news can spread, maybe we see it more, we hear it more. But don't get it wrong. You know, the days are evil. It is the same for Ephesians, for the Ephesians in the first century, as for us today, as it was 50 years ago when Jimmy Savile was around, but we didn't know about it. As it was, if you go to Warwick Castle and you hear about medieval times, we are in an evil phase. Every day, the devil is scheming. And that's why Paul tells us we have to think very carefully. We have to be very careful and very wise how we live our lives and what our priorities are. You know, we see, don't we, at the end of Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit, which we'll come to in a little bit, but we also see the things of the sinful nature. And we often get stuck or see the ones at the top, you know, sexual immorality and witchcraft and those sort of things, which, you know, hopefully we don't see. But actually stuck in the middle of them are words like discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions. You know, they're far more subtle. Those are the things that every day when we get up around and about, those are the things that are tempting us. You know, the factions that we see at work or in churches, dissension, selfish ambition, jealousy. Every day they are there. And there's a specific warning from Paul about drunkenness. Why? Well, because drunkenness, he says, leads to debauchery, which is basically fulfilling our own selfish desires. And it's saying you have a choice. Either fill yourself with alcohol, where you are not in control, will lead to other acts, or fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Alcohol will draw you in. It will take over you. It can take over you, we know. It's a choice to make. But Paul says you can't have both. How can you love the God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind if you're off your head or out of your mind? You can't do it. And you know, it's not an age-specific thing. You know, we look at students and we go, oh. But you know, it's for us as well. For us sort of older ones here, I'd love the young people who have been here this morning, and so we could have, you know, really embed this thing, because it's so important for students. They go off, you know, because there are so many temptations around, aren't there? But we mustn't lose track of that, these things as well. We have a choice to make. Do we want to offer ourselves up to God, or do we want to follow the cravings of this world. So when we wake in the morning, we enter a world that is in battle, a spiritual battle. But Paul gives us the solution, and it's a very easy solution. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In this series, we've learned, haven't we, how the Holy Spirit came in acts of power in the Old Testament for specific things. We saw last week how he came to equip the church. But we also learned, if you remember when Ivor came, how the Holy Spirit dwells in each believer and brings about new birth when we become a Christian. But, you know, thankfully, it's not like those bubbles which survive, goes in there, and a few seconds later, it's disappeared. Now, the Holy Spirit is here to work in our lives in amazing ways, and as Christians, we cannot survive. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit's power in your life. It cannot happen. So what is the Holy Spirit's purpose? Well, as well as bringing about new birth, and I'm going to give a biblical list here. Okay, each one of these could be a sermon or even a series. But I just want us to think about what I'm going to say now and marvel at the entirety, not the specifics, but the entirety of what the Holy Spirit does for us in our lives. So as we say, he brings about new birth. He lives with us. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives with us continually. He assures us of our salvation. He assures us that we have a place in God's eternal family. He baptizes us with himself. John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but there's someone coming after me, Jesus, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us and opens our minds to understand the things of God. He strengthens and sustains us, which is important, isn't it? That's really important to us, that we have a sustaining Holy Spirit that will strengthen us through those difficult times. He enables us to pray. He enables us to worship in spirit and in truth. He leads us and guides us. And he calls us to special service for the Lord. He enables us to put fleshly sins, things that are of the sinful nature, to death, and he produces Christ-likeness in our characters. He empowers us to share our faith with others, and he imparts spiritual gifts as he wants. He will bring about resurrection and immortality to all believers. He fills us with himself. Now that is a list. And you know, when you hear that list and you think, wow, that is the gift that God has given us so that we can live our lives as Christians. You know, I hope you think, I want some of that. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those that do, I guess the obvious question would be, yes, please. But how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it through breathing exercises, through trying to stop your heart beating? Don't try that at home. I think you should have added that one, Ron. Don't try that at home. No, of course it isn't. You know, it's not about holding your breath for 30 seconds and then pumping out 10 times or anything like that. It's not about crossing your fingers and touching wood. It's not about getting structures right in church and everything else like that. No, not at all. Just a couple of verses to help us. A couple of verses from 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that we have what we asked of him. Now, Ian said last week, didn't he, that God does not hold himself back from us. He does not desire to hold himself back. He desires to give to us. And as followers of Jesus, we don't have to pass entrance exams, finish assignments, hoping that we can get the grade. God wants to freely give himself to us. We're told over and over and over again in the Bible to ask, and it will be given. But you know, you can do that. Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can ask. But actually, there's, I think, sort of something more than that. Yes, it is as simple as asking, but it's always that attitude. You know, the kids sometimes, if you've got kids, you know, they want something, but they haven't got the right attitude. And they only want, you know, it's what is the attitude? Well, another verse from Revelation, or a couple of verses from Revelation. It was addressed to the church in Ephesus. And it said, I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles and are not and found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Church in Ephesus, church in Salisbury. You know, we work hard, we persevere, cannot tolerate wicked people. Bible-based, we test things, we persevere and endure hardships, not grown weary. We sometimes feel weary, but you know. But then it goes on to say, yet I hold this against you, for you have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from this place. You know, I think the Lord is saying, come back to the cross. Fall at Jesus' feet. Tell him how much you love him for what he has done for his Father and for you. That's what he wants us to do, isn't it? Just to come and adore him, to say how much we love him, and to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, if we can't find time to do that, then we probably shouldn't expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we can't find time to do it, and we just expect it, you know, give it to me, Lord. You know, this is an act of love, an act of adoration for what he has done for us. In that house group on Tuesday, we had an impromptu study. And we were thinking a lot about hungering after God and craving after God. You know, what are our cravings? Is it money? Is it drink? Is it acceptance of things? Is it winning? Or is it just craving after God, wanting more and more of what God wants to give to us? Ian also said last week, this isn't a game. We're not playing at this. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we cannot overcome that evil where devil is scheming, and we cannot have those things that God has promised in that list I went through earlier. On Tuesday evening, we have the church prayer meeting here. It's going to be set aside on Tuesday for just that, to come to the Lord at the cross, falling at his feet, telling him how much we love him, for what he has done for his Father and for us, and asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the agenda. I would really encourage people to come along and find time to do that. Not because we want to see lots of people at the prayer meeting. That is irrelevant. Because we want to see God at work in our lives and God at work through Salisbury Church. So how will we know if we are being continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Because this is a day-by-day activity, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we see in verse 19 onwards, what comes out of our mouths will please him. What comes out of our hearts will praise him. In a few minutes, we're going to spend some more time however the Lord leads. But sort of reflecting on this, we're going to spend some more time with some more songs so that we can express with our words our love for God. The Christ-like fruit that we see in Galatians 5 will be evident in our lives. And it's always good to go through them. So let's just remind ourselves of the fruit. This is not through the work that we do, through us trying. This is when God is at work in our hearts and changing us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That, when God is working in our hearts, that is what he will do. He will bring those things out in us. And verse 20, that is a challenge. If you try and do this in your own strength, it is a big challenge. I think I've been trying to do it in my own strength this week a little bit, if I'm honest about it. It's good, but actually it's only when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, working in our lives and filling us, that our whole lives, our whole attitudes become like verse 20. Always, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Ron sent an email out on Friday when to tell us that Jill's mum had passed on, and he entitled it Praise. And you know, I just sort of thought, you know, it's a sad time, but to be able to say praise, to be able to give thanks in all things. You know, how much do we, when we go about, find the negatives, find the difficulties, as opposed to, you know, not in a naive way, not in a, you know, over-optimistic way or whatever it may be, but in a way that says, Lord, in that, I am still thankful. I am thankful for everything. Because I'm giving thanks to God for everything in the name of Christ. Francis Schaeffer said, the beginning of men's rebellion is the lack of a thankful heart. The beginning of men's rebellion is a lack of a faithful heart. Well, that is true. But the only cure for it is for our hearts to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. And the other thing that will be evident in our lives as we are transformed by the Holy Spirit is that we will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We will be humble. We will be submissive to each other. So I want to stop there. I want us to have some time to respond to the Lord. But just remember that the days are evil. Every day is evil. The devil is scheming every day. But we can ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. We come back to the cross. We fall at Jesus' feet. And we tell him how much we love him. Not just today. Not just on Sundays. But every day, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit.